I want to read a very familiar passage from the Word of God in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then we come to the book of Acts. In the New Testament it is, and we're looking at Acts 16. Most are familiar with this passage. We'll break in at verse number 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." He called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved at thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house, and he took them that them the same hour of the night, and washed his stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now that's all we'll read, and I trust with the Lord's blessing upon the reading. I suppose the simplicity of the message will be very clear to all present tonight. A question and an answer. And thus, we hope that there might be someone in the meeting and you have the same similar question as what we have recorded in the book of Acts chapter 16. From a jailer awakened out of his sleep and finally coming and bringing the servants of Christ out of the inner prison and asking, "What must I do to be saved?" And the simple answer was this: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Now the book of Acts, we believe in the Bible, by the way. It's God's inspired book. We have no other reliable source of information but this Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, it's infallible, it's indispensable. It's absolutely, my friend, reliable, and it's faultless, and we trust it, and we know it's God's roadmap to heaven. No one might miss, my friend, the road if they look into their Bible. And everyone that looks into this Bible and accepts what God says will eventually and find themselves in glory. Those that refuse it and reject it, my friend, will be lost eternally. So this great book gives us valuable, vital information as to time and eternity, as to man and as to God. In fact, the Bible's looked upon as contrasts. You couldn't read your Bible, but you're coming across contrasts all the time. At the beginning of the Bible, God contrasts light with darkness. And go right through the Bible and you find that dividing line, whether it be in the physical realm or whether it be in the social realm. Whether it be, my friend, in the spiritual realm, God divides. This church is divided. Very simply, that pillar of death divides that part from this part. And of course, that broad road is divided. The door there that leads to the narrow way. And there's a broad road. There's a contrast between the two roads. And I would like to be very basic and simple tonight. There's a contrast in the meeting. And the contrast is this: whether you take it in or embrace it or believe it, friend, as God looks down from this precious volume, the book of God, the reliable scriptures, not our minds. You have as good of opinion about things as I have. And we could talk till we're blue in the face, and I could present my opinions and your opinions, but it's all analyzed. And all goes through the same, friend. It really doesn't matter. But what really basically matters is what God says. And what God is doing for us so kindly. I think it's kind of God, the God of eternity that brought the universe into existence.
planet after planet, island universe after island universe. Things that we can't see and things that we can see are declaring the mighty power of God. But you were God so kind to come down and just tell us very basically that there are two classes of people in our world. He's not talking about color, and he's not talking about culture, and he's not talking about the social status between people, some poor and some rich. He's just looking down and he puts two categories, saved and lost. When that great ship, the Titanic, as you well know, there's a film now in relation to that sinking of the Titanic. It left the city of Belfast where I was born a long number of years ago, made its maiden voyage, hit that iceberg, and my friend, that floating palace at Main Flock, was absolutely unsinkable. Just when it hit that iceberg, it was like the finger just running its finger right along the boat. And then the next thing, my friend, that boat begins to sink. Half an hour, it was in the bottom. The headlines of the newspaper, and somebody sent one recently to me, an old newspaper, a replica of what really was in the first when it was printed. And it showed you a picture of that great vessel. And it's going down. And then it showed you little lifeboats all in that water beside the ship. And then it showed you men jumping and women jumping. But the thing that struck me was this. The headlines of the newspaper, they were under two columns. One column of this, said it, and all the names. The other column, lost, and all the names. Now friend, that's what we're trying to get across nightly. It might be very basic and simple, but you haven't taken it in tonight. We're not talking about church. We're not talking about ordinances. We're not talking about the sacrament. We're not talking about water baptism. We're not talking about, my friend, a good life. That's all right in itself. We're talking about saved and lost. And just as those and the Titanic were under two columns, saved and lost, God looks down upon humanity, humankind. And he divides them down the center. There are those that are saved and those that are lost. And so this book of Acts is a book that unfolds to me men that got saved and women that got saved. And it also tells us of those that were lost and died in their lost condition. A very dividing book. I love to read the book of Acts and tell you why it appeals to me. Very basic. Not in relation to all the doctrines that are in it, but really when all this touches me and touches a chord of reading X, I'm coming across conversion, 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 conversion. And in chapter 16, you could almost write over the conversion chapter. Because you read of a conversion of a young man at the beginning. I didn't read about him, but you can read Acts 16. Do that for me tonight before you go to sleep. Take out your Bible and read Acts 16. Before you turn off the lights. Would you do a little favor for a man? Just do that. Just read Acts 16. And you'll come to the first one, Timothy. His mother was a Jew, his father a Greek. And he was a believer in Christ. He was saved. Probably was never out in the world. And probably was never out in that big world of his like ours. Probably saved quite young. And then you'll come across a woman called Lydia. And she heard the gospel, and God opened her heart to attend unto the things that were uttered. And she just said, probably a wealthy woman, she was one that worked with purple cloth, probably a business lady. Now some people say to me, this gospel you have is only for the dead and that. I said, come on, nonsense. It's for the wealthy, and it's for the poor, it's for the rich, And that my friend, the poorest for the illiterate and the educated, doesn't matter. It's for all men.
The night of your 60 years in the meeting, by the Christ is for you. And your only 15 is for you.
Now this woman, Lydia got saved. She's an abbot. She's a wealthy woman. One was a young man, Timothy. And then you run to another girl, and she has been knitting cane for her masters. A slave girl. We would call her an outcast. We were making money from her. Trafficked by her soothsaying. She was possessed. And here we have the different, in the book of Acts, the different cultures and backgrounds that the Word of God's telling us were converted to God. And then we come to this one, the jail.
A hardened, callous, cold, calculated one.
Probably, you know what I'm going to tell you, when I read down the chapter, you know what I would say? If somebody said to me, now here's four people. One's a young man, Timothy, mother, saved, and brought up in a kind of an environment that's very confined. I say, well, probably he could say it.
Yeah.
And then you come to your Aunt Lydia. Well, she's a wealthy woman. She's doing the gospel.
Yeah. She appear? No, not much hope for her. That's the Skid Row type.
And then,
you feel a hope. No. Am I like that? Am I like actually give the order to whip two servants and to put them in a prison and their back's bleeding?
And put them in the inner prison? Not much hope for that man.
You know, God's way of best.
And thank God, you only does. In one chapter, he brings together different folks.
I'm looking at an audience tonight, and I feel like saying, how do you do it?
What do you do? How old are you doing?
Do you remember how old you were?
No, we're all different ages. Different backgrounds. I'm not going to call your name. I'm only trying to get the point across. Different cultures, and we learn different things, and here God and then, what did he do that for? He did that for to be a living monument to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That men might see this is not just for a select company, or just for a certain classification of people. But this is for all men. And so we have, my friend, a conversion chapter. What is on my mind in my moments here that's left to me is this. I want you to notice that in the chapter of this conversion of the jailer, and very basic, we have Earth's greatest question. If you went to that sinking Titanic and you saw those people aboard, just before it hit the iceberg, you would see people who were playing cards, who were drinking beer, who were enjoying themselves, some were counting their money and looking at their investments. Then there was the boys in the storage, little fellows, and then there was all kinds of sailors who was in mixed multitude.
And every one of them never thought. And a half an hour time.
You know, when it struck me, I was amazed.
I started on a spinal descent of what he did.
And if you had 5 minutes just before it hit the bottom and was really down under, you said to those people, what's the biggest question in your mind right now? Do you think they would say, well, we're looking forward to another day of playing cards? How would you hear the millionaire say, I have investments in New York, and I want to pick the results of it, I want to get the cream.
No. Every one of them said, what must we do to be saved? That's the right question. You know, friend, one day, listen, oh, I know you feel pretty good tonight, man.
not to be back on one from the experts. She will think that you are that one. Will you see the urgency of you? Now ask the question that the healer asks.
What must I do? Here's a man, friend, God used. You know what the background is. God used an earthquake. That man was actually sleeping in his bed. This gives me encouragement for the way. He was sleeping sound in bed. He had done his job. He carried out the orders of the Caesars of the Roman Empire. And there he was, my friend, fast asleep in his bed. Two men down praying and praising God. And there they were, my friend, a prayer and praise meeting in an inner prison. And as they were there, there's a man sleeping in his bed who gave the orders to put them there. And suddenly,
our nation is not changed. Your need me is not right for you. That's why I'm sorry to you, right? As I was my heritage. But your need me is, I don't mean a little earthquake. I mean an earthquake in your soul. The way you do that business for you. This isn't dramatizing. This isn't putting on some kind of a display. This is reality. This is heaven and hell. This is eternity. This is the fact that we're all going to meet death. We're going to come up against the awful barrier, this barrier, death. We're going to make our exit into eternity, friends. And we want to know, is your question tonight similar to this? What must I do to be saved? I need to be saved because I'm a sinner. You know, I like to read Bishop J.C. Ryle. He was an Anglican minister. If I go to England again, I'll look up his place of burial. An Anglican minister. If you want to read his tract on the two churches, or any of his booklets, and that Bishop J.C. Ryle, if he was up on this platform, that minister, you make me feel like a little choir boy. He preached reality. That is, he preached it, he saw results. Souls were awakened and saved. Now my friend, listen, we are just preaching what he was preaching, what the Bible preaches. We are before God sinners. That's why we need to be saved. Three things very quickly. You know, I can see an urgency in that 16. Could I apply it to you tonight? I know what you're saying, I'll all the through your thoughts. Mr. It's the moment. I want to tell you something. That's what you're saying. I intend one day to be in that. Sure I can. Could I kindly tell you that? Whatever. Yeah, okay. Unless you're urgent, unless it's priority,
I preached with Robert McElwain a number of times.
He's one of my favorites.
And how that?
Well, that's it.
And I'll never forget when we went to Charlottetown to preach.
And he doesn't mind me saying this. He was discouraged. Yeah. And he said to me after one preach, he said, I think I'm quick. I said, all right,
you can help. I said, Robert, you
know, he would tell you more what was behind all that. But that next night that we preached, there was a young girl who saw sitting halfway down.
Never forget.
He went down to the back, mostly touched his nose eye. He says, go up and speak to her. I says, no, Robert. You have the time to do that. Never forget. As he was up on Sabbath later, what a joy it was.
You see, friend, that's why we're here, not to try to.
We are here to see you saved. S-A-V-E-D.
Because you're lost. And the importance, the urgency is this. Death is stirring you. We're all, my friend, under the shadow of death.
We're going to leave it. We don't know when. Tomorrow is eternity. I'm preaching tonight because Paul, listen, I don't hope to do so, but if I died in this platform, preaching my heart out, pulling my heart out, and telling you, friend, that God loves you, and Christ died that you might be saved before Robert McElwain could touch my body. My soul will be in the presence of the Redeemer, but I trust it for me.
Death is urgent, friend, and it's a lot urgent. Death is in the land. It stops us.
If you die, then where is your soul?
I'll tell you another thing. The Lord is coming. The man that hung at dark Calvary, that was put between the thieves, the Son of God, God over all, the one my friend who put away sin, the one that died in the place of the guilty, the one that bore the wrath of God against my sins and yours. Friend, he promised,
I will come again. That's it. When the hours have been dying, the weeks have been dying, and decades and centuries, and now it's been 2,000 years almost. And I just lift my newspaper, and I read the news media, and I hear from the radio times, and my heart says, Lord, it must be, I'm the treasure of the Lord. It must be. And emotions in our world, the turmoil,
the tremendous international isolation of things. No more just little pockets here and little communities here. Everything is international. And everything is preparatory to a man that's going to go back
before his death will be. Many of the brothers, well, many of what this side of the top. Would you let me go by one of your hands?
Many on this side would really go. If Christ did the church is coming, the eminence of his coming, we couldn't emphasize enough.
That's what we need to do. You know the devil will be after me.
Another thing, the Spirit of God is touching you tonight. Just stop.
When God saved me at 21 almost, I'll never forget it because my brother and I were very close,
2 years older than myself.
I remember saying one time because he was often troubled about his soul as we grew up together in the home, and sometimes Mom would come into the bedroom and he'd say, what's wrong, John? She said, Mom, I want to be saved. The Lord is coming and I'm not ready. And she used to pray with him. Sometimes Dad would come in and pray with him. We grew up together, and now he's 17, 18, 19, and we're happily together. I remember him saying to me, you know, Albert, I believe God yet. I never ever thought of God. I believe I do. I never thought anything about it until God saved me. I'll never forget the first time I came over the door. He was now married when I got saved. And I came over the door to the house. I was all alone in the house. I'll never forget it. It was kind of a strange atmosphere. It was hard to speak to. 2 years older than myself, but I loved him. I looked into his eyes, taller than I was, bigger than I was.
I hope you're hearing it, I hope you're hearing it.
I should tell him. You never said it again. I really could ask him, I saw him say, Albert, I love Stephen. The Lord has come, and I love Jesus.
I'll never forget it.
When he left that house that day, you know what I did? I dropped him and handed him to the old God. I said, oh God, thanks for being with my brother.
You know, you're 51 years of age. I'll never forget it, friend. That's not too long ago, sitting in the house where I lived with my wife.
It was 7 o'clock at night, and I looked at the phone, I couldn't believe it.
My brother was calling.
Mom just said, is that you, Albert? I said, yes, it is. He said, good news. I said, what is it? He said, I just received the requirement of the Lord. I want to make it for you.
I said, you bet?
Yes, he said, I can see it.
I said, you know, my wife's not here yet.
But when I, she was asleep. I said, I give her a good shake. I said, huh?
I just the same.
She looked at him, she said, okay, you may know.
What's that, she said? I said, I just the same.
Oh, she said, that's worth a good cup of tea.
And is that all an excellent garden? But only there and had a cup of tea and brought up, he said, tell me all about it.
I'll tell you something, if you could see it tonight.
Oh, friend, saved. The urgency of the matter, the spirit might cease. The Lord is coming.
Yeah, listen now.
Let me close very quickly.
Earth, greatest
heaven.
Boy, God doesn't complicate things.
I do. I do. Oh, yes, I do. But God doesn't complicate
things. To awaken troubles, spirit dealt with man, awakened out of his sleep and awakened in his sins.
He sprang in and came down. What must I do to reason it? Shut down. Believe. Or a lie of the Lord Jesus. If I added to that right now, I would destroy it.
I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm not going to give you a definition.
Here's what it says.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved.
Let me tell you. This is it.
Hope tonight, as this meeting goes on, let this lodge in your mind. See the lost meeting.